god. Okay. Live from the pits of Malifaux City, it's Friday Night Fowdown.
And welcome back to Friday Night Fowdown. It is Friday, the 22nd of September. I am your host, as always, Doug, and with me are three other people who can hopefully count better than me. There is Victoria.
Hello.
Adam.
Hi.
And Dave with a terrible microphone.
I live.
Yay, he's back. All right, and just quickly stall while I pull up the timer.
Was there a blood moon? Is that why Dave is back?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The double blood moon, in fact.
Oh.
There's two Daves. Oh, we had to kill the other one.
Wait, who's the guy that's never been on the show, but he's never been on the show? He's also been on the show, but never been on the show.
Daniel.
Yeah. Daniel's here, but he's not speaking tonight. Is that how we're going to do this?
Oh, hey, welcome, Daniel.
Hey, Daniel, how you doing?
First time on the show.
Oh, shy.
First time on the show.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe next time you'll be able to speak up a bit. Everyone say hi to Daniel.
Daniel.
That includes you two, audience.
Out loud.
He's so nervous. This is his first show. He can't even say anything.
Poor guy. Okay.
He's going to listen to this and just be like, why do you do this?
This show is just going to be like entirely consisting of in-jokes. We're going to talk maybe 5 minutes of Malifaux, and the rest is just going to be dumb jokes.
At some point, the dumb jokes will just take over.
I'm just so proud of us right now. Okay, I have, as usual, a bunch of topics that we're going to discuss and maybe argue over. Probably not, because we're really nice people. Because we're all from Iowa, except for that one guy. Who thinks he's better than the rest of us?
Iowa nice, y'all.
Okay.
We grow potatoes.
What?
We grow potatoes.
Jeez.
We've got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You have Cleveland in your state.
Yes, I have 1 hour on the clock, and that begins right now. Our first topic is a very broad question. Who do you think is the worst master for the game? Not in the game, as in like the worst master to play, the hardest one to play. This is, what do you think is the worst one for the game of Malifaux itself? I'm obviously leaving this broad, so you can just interpret it however you feel like it, but I am going first, and I want to say that I think Leviticus is the worst master for the game of Malifaux. Specifically because he has such an enormously large hiring pool with the Pariah of Bone and Pariah of Iron. Do we have any Arcus players? Yeah.
Brian's
yes.
not here to defend.
You are correct.
Okay.
And you have the Terracotta Warrior, lets you swap those out to other things.
Yeah, because that's fair.
Why is that model a construct?
What?
Why is the Terracotta Warrior a construct? It makes no sense.
For Leviticus to take, of course.
Yes, because
like,
he needs
to have...
Obviously. Leviticus needs buffed.
Poor guy. Anyways, yeah. From a design perspective, I feel like the designers of the game of Malifaux have to dance around the fact that every time they come up with a new undead model, or every time they come up with a construct, they have to keep in mind that, oh, Leviticus can take this, and it's possible...
Unless it's a gremlin.
Okay, so, yes, what they need to do from now on is only make constructs from the gremlin faction.
What about undead, though?
Can you take undead from gremlins?
Yes. There are no undead as of ever in the gremlin faction. The only undead gremlin, which is not a gremlin model, is the new farting thingamabobber.
Little gasser,
yeah. That thing's awesome.
Okay, I got off track.
Our definitions of awesome are obviously very different things, but that's fine.
A little fart gremlin? What's wrong with that?
It's a fart gremlin.
So technically, they're probably all fart gremlins, but...
Good point.
Uncouth is a word I'd use to describe them. Back to what I was saying, Leviticus is the worst master for the game because everything has to be put in check because Leviticus can take it and there might be something broken with the Outcast faction. And as you all know, I have nothing against the Outcast faction. And wish them all the broken combinations they could possibly have because they're definitely underpowered.
They definitely need them.
I mean, it's the same reason why, like, Arcanists aren't going to get, like, a super cool high soulstone cost beast model. Because we have Miranda that can just change into it for considerably less than what you just do to field it. So it's like that, but with two very, very, very large keywords. Okay, my whining's done. Adam!
Well, I sadly have to stay in the same faction as you. I had a second choice just in case I didn't go second, but I am going to have to say Hamlin, and only because of the current state of the game and the fact that he can, not just he himself, but a lot of the stuff that he takes are against some of the scoring points of Malifaux, which are conditions being applied. So anything with Nihilist or with Ashes and Dust and his whole thing where he can't have conditions or be buried, all that kind of jazz. So I think Hamlin himself plus a lot of stuff that he takes are making him the worst master of the game.
Generating too much negative player experience?
I don't know if it's actually that. I just think that from like you talked about design perspective on Levy, and I don't necessarily totally disagree or agree with you on that, but I think it's a valid discussion point. I think that the thing with Hamlin is like, or really Hamlin and any of the things in his crew, they take away from the bonuses or the kind of cool things of Malifaux, which are a little bit of that bluffing element, and there's some pools that when you see them, you can just say, oh, I'm going to take Hamlin, and then your opponent against Hamlin has very little choice. And anybody that knows anything in the game design 101 perspective of stuff is, you know, players like choice. And if you take those away, it makes the game a little bit less exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I'm hoping when we finally get GG18 settled, it'll be fixed. But until then, we're going to still live with lots of Hamlin being brought to tournaments.
Unless you come to Lufir Die Cheating.
Oh, is he banned?
No, he's allowed, but there are any conditions that are applied from schemes or strategy, which are really just schemes, they are not ignored on Hamlin.
That's
or
nice.
Really,
nice.
No models, so it's not just Hamlin, it's Ironsides as well.
Boo.
Sorry.
Ironsides needs nerfed.
And I think there's a Lady J upgrade that has something to do with that, too. If I remember.
You know, I'm okay with it.
OP, please nerf.
It was a fun little thing that Ironsides had, but now she's got a decent amount of good things going for her, so I can live with it.
Yeah, and I guess that's the point, too, is like, to get back to the question, is like, I don't think it's just the idea that that he can ignore the conditions. There's a few other things with him. I mean, obviously he has activation control, so it's not, I don't want to just make it sound like, oh, it's just the fact that he's kind of immune to conditions and a lot of things in his crew are. It's that he can gain activation control in the current state of the game, which is obviously pretty strong. He's able to obey things, which is taking AP away from your opponent and using it against them most of the time. Or obeying your own model. So I think it's like a couple of compounding things that I think make Hamlin not the best master for the game. Do I like Hamlin as a fluff, from a fluff perspective? I love him. He's been like one of my favorite masters since first edition. Do I think he's a cool idea for a master in the game? Yeah, I just think there's a few things that can happen, not with his rules, but with the scoring mechanics of the game that could make it a little bit better. And that's what I think 2018 Gaining Grounds is going to try to fix.
Hopefully. We all hope. Okay. Dave?
Well, I have a joke one and a not joke one, so I'll give the non-joke one first. of Nelly. I think is actually quite bad for Guild. Because...
what's the point of bringing anything else?
Pretty much, yeah. And if it's not within faction, just hire whatever you need from mercenaries to fill in the gaps that the guild obviously has. So She's kind of a band-aid for the guild, rather than giving the rest of the crews more viable options.
Yeah, I agree. I wish I could like her more, but she's just so punchable. Even in the fluff, she's unbearable. Yeah. Yeah, definitely overbearing with anyone else in the faction. I don't know if the Wave 5 upgrades will change some of that. I hope so. Sounds like they've really needed quite a bit of help. But it seems a lot of her stuff, too much of her stuff disregards basic Malifaux rules. I mean, the whole point of each master and their unique skill sets and their powers is how they circumvent the rules or override them, but it seems like she has way more in her dual box than just about anyone else, except for maybe Hamlin.
Yeah, just by being able to just, you know, skip an activation by getting rid of an evidence counter. That's pretty huge.
Or just skip an activation by getting rid of a card, which, you know, she gets one extra for more or less free.
It's just going to be really hard for guild going forward in the design space, I think.
Well, I think they could possibly just bump everyone up to a point where they're viable. Because she's not unbeatable. She doesn't have that same sort of, like, there's no way to win against her kind of thing that Hamlin will sometimes generate. How are the nails coming?
Fine, sorry. I was cleaning up a little bit.
Okay. Well, I think it's your turn.
My turn. Worst master for the game?
You could go like a complete complete fluff wise or what?
I'm so
sorry. Why?
I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
You better be.
I had to. Honestly, worst master for the game. Fluff wise. I'm going to go fluff wise because I don't know meta at all. I don't like Nicodem.
Oh.
He done killed all my favorites and...
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was... Oh, geez. We sort of talked about the Duel of Fate thing on one episode.
Yeah.
And we talked about that Nicodem, to that point, had kind of gone around and killed a bunch of the necromancers and stealing their dead stuff to create his army that he ended up failing to take over Malifaux City with. And the guy, I said before, and I'll say it again, the guy ruined the dead man's ball, and that was one of my favorite stories. So, fuck him.
Fuck him.
Fuck him. Fuck that old bastard.
I don't know the fluff well enough to know. So, but I also don't see any resers in our meta, so I don't know how bad Nico is.
Wait, do you guys all play together?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I don't really play much outside of
home games,
but yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
We're all at the same game store, so.
I did not realize that.
Along with Kyle Bodie of Schemes and Stones.
Yeah, Des Moines only really has one game store that hosts Malifaux. There's a couple others, but they don't sell. Malifaux stuff. We got one Warhammer store, another comics and games and random hippie junk and collectibles. And the other one's kind of really small. Yeah. All they really have is 40K and some Kings of War things, I think. Maybe some X-Wing. Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked again.
Yeah, no, so I'm going to go for fluff reasons, Nicodem. He's the worst.
Because then we get Bathory. What was her first name?
Amelia
Bathory. Who wouldn't love to see that gracing the rule book?
Boobs.
We get all the gross neckbeards playing our game.
Because that's what we need, is more gross neckbeards.
That was a joke.
I was going to say, we don't already have them.
I hopefully will slowly be driving them out. That'd be nice. She's got boobies. I must play this game. Anyways, I am just getting way sidetracked. I think I'm tired. So let's just move on to other topics so we can keep, you know, keep our focus. Everyone keep their focus. Topic number two. You are stuck on a desert island with three Malifaux characters. Who are they? Adam.
All right.
I would
characters.
I would say that this is your obviously people of your choosing, not just some random happenstance grouping of characters, because that seems right. Like you wouldn't have a choice in the matter.
Right, right. No, this makes sense. So it's characters, it's not just masters. So first I have to say Lady J, because she's blind and I'm Uggo, so that way she's not scared away.
Oh,
and stabs you with her sword. The next would be...
Don't worry, you can scare with your personality.
Ooh. Yeah, that's true. The amazing Carlos Vasquez. Because on a desert island, what do you need but fire? It gets cold, and plus he looks like he can partying it down. I mean, he's a showgirl after all.
Yes.
And then third, I haven't given a ton of thought. I gotta have somebody that kind of like, I'm gonna have to say the whiskey golem, because he's definitely got a lot of whiskey in there.
So you wanna party and get laid?
I got the mix of everything I would need. Yeah, I got everything. I got my bro, I got my hoe, and I got a little bit of booze.
Okay, don't call her that.
Call Lady J a hoe, please.
Why not?
She's a fine, upstanding member of this community, sir.
And also, she'll stab you.
That's okay.
And she's, you know, gonna die soon, so it's fine.
Anyways, that's my pick.
So, Dave, are you and your crew planning on getting off this island? Because Adam is it.
Oh, totally. I already have it figured out.
Okay.
I got... Delectorian.
Oh, yeah.
I got Karis.
God.
And I got an ice dancer. Because they are going to pull me and the ice dancer
across the
water. Windsurf all the way to the next wherever.
Wait, you want to get off the desert island? Are you crazy?
Hell yeah.
What?
You can't make booze in the desert, man.
You'll get dehydrated.
Oh, you put me on a desert island. No, you'll be okay. You'll find something.
And you're back. Okay.
It's fixed.
Yep.
It's fixed. I don't know what you're talking about, so we're just going to go to the next person, if that's okay.
You were asking if Karis or the Valedictorian get tired with the parasailing.
Oh, yes.
Valedictorian is undead. Of course she doesn't get tired.
You don't know that. Maybe the undead take lots of naps.
Maybe the wings will fall off.
Then Karis can take over and just tag team the whole way.
Oh, they do it in shifts, is what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know where you're going? You're just going to go straight.
Sure.
Okay.
You'll hit something eventually.
Okay. Like Antarctica. I'm next.
She grabs. She grabs you, but she never drops you.
Victoria.
Well, I think I'm going to go for a more Gilligan's Island feel here.
Yeah.
So obviously, I need a doctor or a professor of some sort. So preferably. Not a homicidal one.
Good luck.
Okay, one who's not going to just kill me because he's crazy.
Also,
one who's going to kill me for reasons. So let's go Ramos.
Ah, that's good. Good choice. Good choice.
You took my reasonable answer.
Sorry. Clearly, I need also an actress if we're going to go Gilligan's Island. So Cassandra. And third one. Do I want Skipper, Gilligan, or Marianne?
You need some comedy. You need Skipper.
I need a Skipper. A big guy who gets angry a lot.
Yeah. Gilligan, everyone always thought Gilligan was a comedy. It was Skipper.
It was Skipper? You think that?
Yeah. The two of them.
God, what the shit's his name?
Good, give us some clues.
He's Guild. I know that doesn't really help that much. I think he's in Lucius' set?
Dashiell?
Dashiell, there we go.
Okay. Okay, yeah. And he can hire, and he can summon Guild Guard now.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got buddies.
Yeah.
You mean useless friends.
Exactly. Aren't all friends really fundamentally useless?
Ouch.
Sorry?
Apparently in Iowa, that's the case.
No, we need our friends in Iowa to keep warm in the winter. When our wood-burning stove breaks down because we don't have actual
You guys
heat.
Think you have winter. You're hilarious.
Sir?
Excuse you.
Excuse you.
Have you been to New England?
Yeah, you get a bunch of snow and that's about it.
We get ice and snow.
And then it melts and then it turns into more ice and then snows again. Sideways.
And then it's 90 degrees and then it freezes again.
Just enough that your car is covered in
ice. It's just literally below zero all winter long in New England.
Yeah, I'd prefer that over the melting and freezing and melting and freezing.
And the howling winds!
So why do you live there?
And the one-room schoolhouses and the outdoor bathrooms because we don't have running water.
Mostly the potatoes.
And the beautiful view of the Pacific Ocean.
And the Rocky Mountains.
And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And your proximity to Colorado.
Our easily imported Canadian whiskey and genuine Mexican tacos.
You guys are basically Canadian and Mexican.
Yes.
Exactly.
Your border stretched so far.
Just the entire middle of the country is just Iowa.
That's more or less just like, oh, it's those Midwestern folks, and they're just thinking about like the inner 95% of the country.
I think it's your turn now.
It's my turn. You took my very first answer, which was the most reasonable one.
I apologize. Dave took my original thing where I was going to take Karis, but you know, whatever.
Okay. Let's see. I think this is going to be a dangerous island.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think so. So this is like one of those ones that like some evil private military company or some drug runners are using as a base to stash all their drugs and their guns and their money and
illegal government experiments.
Yes, all that. So you know, we're just some folks stranded out on this island, and now not only do we have to fight for our survival, but we also have to fight these evil drug people. Drugs are bad, kids. Anyways, so, you know, to help with surviving and also with the murdering and to help also with... He's going to pull double duty. I'm going to go with another doctor. Surprising enough. Marcus.
Ah.
Because he's going to thwap things with a stick. He's going to, you know, he's just going to just walk out into the jungle of this desert island and come back like 5 seconds later with dinner. And no, he'll also find other things that were dinner, and they'll have we'll have them attack the bad guys with guns. Next up, I think we need just like a raw fighter powerhouse.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna go with the Victorious.
Are you counting them as?
Wait, they're two models.
That's two.
Avatar Victorious.
Doesn't matter. There's still two. There's
not
still
one base. One base, one model.
No.
One base, one nope. character. That's not nope. one.
That is exactly illegal.
Illegal.
No, you have to. Pick
so you're
one
saying
of them.
You don't want to see the Victorias cut up a bunch of drug dealers?
No, yeah, I would love to be on a desert island with the two Victorias, but that counts as two.
Nope, one. They're tied together. Moving on, wait. Because Adam
now
apparently
tying,
isn't getting
now
this.
You're tying women together. What are you, some sort of sick maniac?
I said it was the Avatar. They did it on their own accord. Maybe they're just bungee enthusiasts that don't really get how it works. I'm not going to question that. And I had a third, and then I forgot it.
Yeah, it was the other Victoria.
Nope. Okay, so we're going to need to build a raft. But this is, you know, a desert island with nothing on it to build a raft out of.
Don't ask about the jungle!
The Victoria's killed the trees.
All of them?
Yes.
And you can't
use
the wood.
It's a desert island, man.
I'm not going to question their methods. But guess what? Guess what we have a massive supply of, thanks to Marcus and the Victorias.
Victorias. We have a massive supply of Victorias, apparently.
We have...
So you're going to build a raft out of bodies?
Yes, and the only person I can think of doing that won't kill us is Molly. God.
Well, she's like my favorite character in Malifaux, so you could totally take her.
I'm going with Marcus, the Victorias, and Molly as my three characters, my three Malifaux characters. I like this movie. I want to see it. So, any other runners-up, any other characters you were thinking about maybe taking but never did?
How did you not make Ramos just buy you or make you a spider boat and get out of there?
Because I didn't take Ramos. Victoria did.
I know. Why didn't Victoria just have a spider boat and get out of there?
Have you watched Gilligan's Island? They try multiple times to get off their desert island. The professor builds them all kinds of crazy bullshit, and it never works.
They've angered Poseidon.
There we
go.
You
know they're dead the whole time, right?
Well, I guess we're all dead. It's fine.
So they run into the people from Lost?
That's one of the fan theories. They've been dead the whole time.
I'm not surprised. Fans like to think that everyone is dead the entire time.
So did you actually have, like, an answer to my question, Dave? Or...
What was the question?
Any other models that didn't make your top three?
Well, if it wasn't a desert island, I would have said Brewmaster to then have the decadent life on an island.
I wonder if the old saying is deserted island. Because I've always been saying
it is, island. But you put desert island.
Yep. I don't know if it was me. No, someone else put that there.
Dave
I just copied
put that
it.
There.
No, I mean the original topic.
Oh, I don't know who put the original one on there.
I mean, I'll take either or with my group.
Let's blame Brian.
That sounds good. Let's blame Brian.
Let's blame Daniel. It's his first time here.
Does this change make it better?
No. Because where have we gone through the entire
thing? No, that's not
desert
even...
Desert island.
That's not even...
Let me be sexist here for
all the girls.
Let me now be sexist here for a second up. And not bring the girls to desert island. Because I want some for myself.
No, we're gonna have a slumber party on desert island. And it's gonna be the bitchingest slumber party.
So okay,
sort of like Fireball Island.
So I feel like just being just lazy and the worst. Adam, what three characters would you bring with you to desert island? Let's go back through one more time.
Wow, well that's happening.
It's happening right now.
Desert island. Okay. Well. If we're talking about eating things, I guess, what is it? Is it the, December Acolytes?
Why would you do that? They're going to eat you.
No. I'm not that tasty. I'm a very unsweet person.
But you're surrounded by sweets to make you sweeter.
We'll just put some cream on you. It'll be fine.
No.
Maybe some ice cream.
So yeah. I'll take the December Acolytes because they like to eat things.
They like to eat people.
Only if they're sweet.
It's
desert island, not desert island. Desert island. Oh gosh. What else we got? This is a tough one actually.
It's harder. It's a much harder question.
I guess you gotta have like a dessert wine. So sake isn't really a dessert wine, but I guess it's the closest you can get.
So like, here's the question, what character do you think would be a sommelier in their spare time?
You know who? Amina.
Yeah, I can see that.
I feel like she would be. She seems like she's refined intelligent person. Like she'd be pretty like all over the finer notes of a good wine. I mean, she's like got books of like stuff she probably reads all the time just for the hell of it.
Reading.
Yeah, so I guess Amina. That's a stretch, but whatever. Yeah. Then we gotta give something to feed the December acolytes. So
you, Adam.
I guess Asura Rotten. She just makes things undead all over the place for them to eat. So yeah, those are my three.
Okay.
Okay.
So you brought with you a problem.
And I also solved it at the same time.
And you also brought a solution to your problem. The only one actually being applicable to Desert Island being your second choice. That's great. Okay. Dave.
Still trying to figure out my third. But so far, I've got Kang with the shovel.
Yeah.
A pigapult.
Why?
Well, obviously, the catapult pies into his face.
Okay.
Yeah. Who for the last one? If I can take the no. Whatever those like gross Reser Pony bros are.
Cantori?
Cantori. So I can ride one of those as Kang shovels pies onto the pigapult and launch them at me.
Did you have a dream with this?
You're going to ride a Kentauri? I want to see you ride a Kentauri.
Oh, my.
That just looks in my mind, that's disturbing.
Oh, it'd be the grossest thing in the world.
Oh, jeez. I'm looking.
If anybody has read the Saga comic, there is actually horse people, and I mean that specifically, in the comic.
That must be later than where I'm at.
Yeah, it's in the one of the last two or three.
We're getting sidetracked on this very serious topic, gentlemen. Victoria, three characters.
Three characters to take with me to Desert Island.
Yes.
I'm going to pick some people that I think need a vacation.
Okay.
Lady J's been getting it really bad lately, so I'm going to take her with me to Desert Island because I think she needs just a chill out.
She's already hanging out with me on Desert Island.
I'm stealing her from you. Deal with it.
No, she Victoria will take better. The long-haired version.
I'm going to take Kirai with me, because ain't nothing that chocolate doesn't fix. What?
Keep going. I'm just saying. Found it funny.
And the last one. I don't know. I'm going to take Molly, too, just because I think she deserves desserts. Best character in Malifaux. Hands down.
Oh, I forgot to bring candy. That would have been perfect.
Again, you're bringing a problem with you.
So those are my three. Lady J, Kira, and Molly.
Okay, I've got two of them. I'm just gonna wing the third. Okay, first off, I'm going to go Dave's route, but Kang probably eats a bit too much. And I want the scoop shovel, probably not the best for shoveling food in your mouth. I'm gonna go with Mod Tucket because I think I might be able to actually use that spoon as a spoon. And she's pretty small. She's not gonna eat nearly as much as Kang will.
You'd be surprised. What?
Sorry. Do you know Gremlin anatomy or something?
It's just a brain and a stomach is like literally all there.
And farts. Don't forget farts. Okay, and you know what? The one problem about Desert Island is that, you know, it's an island, and it's probably also tropical, so it's probably going to be a little warm. And the dessert's probably not going to stay good for a little while, so what we're going to do is we're going to bring an ice golem. We're going to keep everything nice and fresh and cool for as long as possible. And maybe we can, like, hollow them out and put some drinky drinks in there. It'll be great.
In his chest.
Yes.
Where his frozen heart
Yes, we'll teach him to bartend. Give him a nice vest and a tip jar.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, you know what, after all this poor decisions, with the desserts. I'm gonna feel some a mite bad rumbly in my tumbly. And so I'm gonna need someone to fix that. So I'm bringing Doc Mitchell along, so you know he can help me with that indigestion. We'll be a family. You okay, Dave?
Yeah. All right.
Perfect. It's perfect.
A family.
Let's leave it as is. Topic number three. Well, we're zipping right along. We spent like a half hour on that desert island thing. Okay. I think actually, Dave. Nope. This is me. This is me being an asshole. Are Malfoy models difficult to assemble, or are people just pathetic weaklings? Dave. Thoughts?
Depending on how far into your miniaturist career, Malfoy models are awful.
Career.
Like, early on, I couldn't put together any of them. Like, my brass arachnid looks ridiculous. But newer models are actually really nice to put together. I think just the older sculpts are just ridiculous sometimes.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of the new ones still don't really get a pass. Especially if you happen to buy the Nightmare Box, just saying.
Misfire's tire is in two parts. Why?
Why not? Didn't we joke when we first came out that every individual spoke was going to be a separate piece?
I'm surprised it wasn't.
That'd be fun. I'd put that together.
Of course you'd put that together.
Okay, well, you've responded, so what's your opinion?
I think some of them can be difficult. I think people way overblow it sometimes, though. Who is it, Sean, that does Gremlins?
I mean, I know Daniel does. Oh, Sean, yeah.
Yeah, and he was saying at one point that, like, their hands and their feet are separate from their bodies, and that would be, like, hell on earth for me. So I think they can be difficult, but then I think sometimes people just like to whine.
No. On the internet?
On the internet, never.
I don't believe that.
And I mean,
that.
Like, nothing against that. Like, complaining is my hobby, but, yeah. You
should be a profession.
What?
Nothing.
Complaining should be my profession?
I mean, actually, honestly, if I could make that a job, I would.
I know, right? I'd probably get paid more for it than I do now. Oh!
Oh! Okay, we're gonna get to... We'll go to Doug. Well, this will be a quick one. I put that whole pathetic weaklings thing in there as a jest. I can understand it being somewhat difficult, but I also feel like sometimes people aren't patient. And if they take a little bit more time and look at the instructions that Weird puts out and think about it a little bit, a lot of their issues could be resolved. There's always, you know, the whole giant hands, tiny, tiny pieces syndrome. But there's ways you can mitigate that. Maybe we just, like, as a community, need to have a discussion about how it's better to put models together. Every once in a while, I'll see stuff like that. But mostly it's just complaining. And I don't think the complaining is necessarily negative all the time. I think there's also some community in regards to, like, everyone can sort of commiserate when it comes to Gremlin feet and Yan Lo's beard and Schrodinger's intestines and Chihuahua tail and all that other stuff. And so, you know, difficult things. And then once you complete it, you're like, whoa, go out to a weird place and complain about it. And everyone's like, hey, yeah, that was hard for me. Congratulations for finally getting it done. There's a bit of achievement that comes along with it. I feel achieved when I put models together, especially difficult ones. I also find it extremely cathartic to put models together. So you're like, send them to me if you don't want to put them together yourself. I love that sort of thing. Anyway, I'm getting off track. I don't know if I said this before, but my reasoning, or at least I think the reason behind why models were so difficult and still are pretty difficult is Weird always seems to put detail first. And sprues seem to be broken down into how can we mold this while keeping as much detail as possible. And so that's why you'll get weird little tiny pieces that are off by themselves, because if they attach that to another portion on the sprue, it wouldn't show up just because of the way injection process works. But that is not my forte. I could be 100% wrong, but that makes the most sense to my brain. Anyways, Adam, what are your opinions?
So, I don't know if many people know this, but I actually picked up Malifaux as my first miniatures game.
Oh, no.
Ah,
yeah.
Me as well.
And I played in first edition. So I dealt with the metals then. I transitioned to 1.5, which was still metals, more or less. And then at the tail end of 1.5, they came out with some plastics, which I picked up were Misaki and Lynch, that I can remember. Actually, Yan Lo would have been in there too. So I picked up definitely those three. And I had no issue assembling any of those. So anybody who complains about them is not good at assembling miniatures, I would say.
Can I put your address on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, definitely. I mean, the whole Yan Lo's beard thing comes from a Malifaux podcast from years ago. And totally validated in what their issue was. But the joke is actually kind of dead. I don't know why it keeps on getting made. I think it's mostly because they came out with a shirt has it. Yeah, well, exactly. And it's more internet fandom and famedom at this point. But in general, I think Malifaux Miniatures is the easiest models to assemble out of anything I've assembled in my stuff. So just to give an example, I have assembled Infinity models. Anybody who's done that knows that they are the hardest models to assemble. I have assembled Arena Rex models. Amazing models, but they are resin. And they are super fine detailed and fiddly. Still, Malifaux models are easier than those. Next, Mythos models. While amazing and great detail, still have some fiddly bits. So anybody who says that Malifaux models are hard to assemble is just complaining just to complain for complaint's sake. So the one model that I will say, and this is where I will claim that I have almost rage quit on, and it's very difficult for me to get upset when I do anything hobby related, because for me hobby stuff is about relaxation. Is the Goryeo. The Goryeo is the only model that I was very close, which I still did not, but I was very close to rage quitting on. In general, I think Malifaux models are actually super easy to assemble. I've never had an issue. I use the, at least on the plastics, I use the Testers liquid cement stuff. So it's super simple. You basically put a little dab and it cements the two contact points together. I'm a big fan of green stuff, so I do that on a lot of my models. And in general, I have no issues with the Malifaux miniatures from assembly perspective. Now, I know this was a part of the question. But in general, because the models are so well detailed and have a lot of dynamic poses, there are problems with some of the spears, swords, banners, whatever the hell you want to call them, that are hanging off the models that pop off. So while it's easy to put models together, it isn't always easy to keep them together.
Everybody, send your hate mail directly to Adam. Go ahead and just say your email address.
It is cheetahfatesjoe @gmail.com.
What, really?
Joe? Huh.
Yeah.
But your name is Adam.
That's my podcast.
Huh.
That's why we use cheetahfatesjoe @gmail.com for everything.
Huh. All right.
I will say 40K is pretty easy to put together.
Yes, 40K is easy to put together.
Maybe just because that's kind of the standard, quote-unquote, that people say.
Well, just because 40K is easy, though, I don't think that makes Malifaux difficult. The difference between 40K and Malifaux models are that a lot of times you have more dynamic poses and fiddly bits, right? I mean, there are more fiddly bits in Malifaux, definitely.
Okay, I think we're done. Crew painting themes, things you want to see and or favorite crew themes that you've done. Cool. Victoria.
Heyo. I obviously chose this one because I'm going first.
I'm going to go with and. Things I want to see. Or rather, this one's more of a plan that I have. I think McMorning as a Rocky Horror Picture Show would be amazing. And that's a thing I want to see when I get better at modding. And so far, my favorite theme that I've done for a crew is I have done the Victorias as Sailor Scouts, basically, because the Ronin are basically them anyway. And...
What do you mean, basically them anyway?
The little outfits with little skirts.
Okay, so the
Ronin... And they've got bows, so it's... Yeah.
It's an easy conversion.
Yes.
Okay. Painting themes. I'm trying to make sure I don't retread old ground on this. You know, actually, I like implementing... This is a fairly broad theme, but I like implementing faction colors in with models, especially the Masters. I like having the Masters have faction colors, at least, on them. And then when you do, like, dual faction Masters, you do, you know, like, half and half. Like, when I finally get around to repainting my Mayfang, excuse me, it's going to be blue pants, orange shirt. Stuff like that. What I want to see? You took the obvious one.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I did not put enough thought into this. More minorities? Yes. I want to see more people paint models as people of different ethnicities, because diversity is great. Ten Thunders don't count. Adam!
I guess I'd like to see a... I would love to see an entire crew of undead painted in the most beautiful living color. Like, you take an undead crew, like, let's say Seamus or Karai. I prefer Karai's the best. Maybe Molly or Nicodem. And you make all the models look like they're totally alive, but in, like, a very creepy undead way, like almost mannequin style. But you know, not mannequins, because that wouldn't fit the theme. So yeah, I guess that'd be kind of what I'd be going for. It'd be cool to see a theme of, hey, they're all living, but in a moment, they're all going to be dead.
Can you go over that one more time?
Sure. My idea is that take, like, a crew of undead, and you have them all look like they're living.
Okay.
Instead of painting them with their undead colors, whatever, you know.
Okay. So you're talking about skin tones specifically.
Yeah, skin tones, like making them all look living.
Okay.
And so the crew is like, hey, this is the crew as they were living, but now they are all going to be dead shortly after. Undead.
Okay.
Okay.
So they look vibrant and, like, bright colored, and their skin is all, you know, flesh tones,
but healthy, definitely alive,
and maybe even just died, like literally just died, type of thing, right?
Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
No, that gave me kind of an idea. Like, do Seamus, and I know someone already suggested this, probably Seamus as the Joker, and the rest of the crew as victims of the laughing gas.
Oh my.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. You gave me an idea. Thank you, Adam. Okay.
You're welcome.
Have you done any, like, super interesting themes for your crews? Or you just go by the numbers?
I mean, in general, my crew is, like, my 10 Thunder stuff is always in a very Asian aesthetic. But, I mean, whatever. I mean, that's not, like, a big surprise.
Yeah, I think 10 Thunders get away with having the most color with the standard artwork.
Yeah, like, I'm currently painting, so I have Misaki from, like I said, 1.5, and so she's painted in yellow, like her standard kind of outfit. So for myself on the, I grabbed the vintage model with some of my guilders, and I'm doing her in white, which is definitely a challenge, yeah. So, I mean, it's not really a theme, but I'm just trying to go for more of a pure look
for her. No, I get you. With the thighs, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, that model's pretty cool.
The shadowing, the thighs, and the boob window.
So with that vintage model, you never thought of doing Chun-Li?
Chun-Li?
No.
Never? Not even a little bit?
Not even a little bit.
Not even a passing thought? Okay. I mean, you're wrong, but okay.
Maybe you think about thighs too much.
Me?
Yes.
Maybe a little bit.
Dave, you be quiet.
I've been thinking. Because I don't really have any, like, painting themes. I have a couple basing themes.
Go ahead and do that.
So, Showgirl's pretty basic. Just the, you know, standard hardwood floor kind of thing. But for my Victoria's box I have, and all the sister models I have them... They all have... what was it? It kind of looks like a... Like a beacon or light, like pole sticking out of the ground. So I can remember which ones are sisters and which ones aren't. So when I have them on the table, like I know, okay, cool. I can do all the sister-related things with these models and not have to like look at cards anymore for them.
Yeah, didn't they just get an upgrade that lets them designate another model as a sister?
I
think so.
So you're going to have one that like can attach to bases.
Great.
Magnets.
Ruins my whole theme.
You hear that, Weird? You ruined Dave's theme. How dare you? They don't listen to us.
No, they definitely listen to us.
Oh, yeah, because the thing from the fluff.
The thing from the fluff, and then didn't we talk about how we wanted an upgrade for the Vix where they could name someone a sister?
Possibly?
On an older episode? No, they def for sure listen to us. They probably don't think we're very good.
No. I mean, I don't.
They're probably like, what is this trash podcast? But they can't help but listen like a train wreck?
Yes, it's like a train wreck for your ears. I've got a tagline for the show!
Congratulations.
Okay. Moving on to the next topic. Which henchman would work best if upgraded to master status? Either for fluff reasons or mechanically. So basically, you take a henchman that you want to see, like, get a promotion, and your reasoning behind that, whether it would be fun for gameplay elements or for the story, you think it would be interesting. I am first. It's coming back around to me. I had a couple, but I think this one is the best because it's me, of course. I'm going to say Fuhatsu gets upgraded to master status, and this would come with a caveat that in the fluff, he gets like clonked on the head again and it fixes his brain. So he's no longer a screaming, angry, large man in his underpants, but like... back to his normal self. Basically, I wanted to...
So now you get one of the worst models in the game for free.
I should have had him as skipper. Dang it.
Well, you would give him benefits that befitting of a master. Like his ability, maybe an ability to be placed or pushed.
Or do anything.
So some like tactics go along with it. Really, I just thought that it would be cool to have a master box where the samurai were the minions. And this is the best way I can get that going.
Wait, so you're downgrading the samurai to minions, and you're upgrading Fuhatsu to master?
Well, minions, as in most crew boxes, come with minions, but like Ironsides doesn't have minions in hers. The model you get three of. Is that a better description?
Yeah. Fuhatsu's the worst.
I'm not disagreeing with you that
he should be deleted from the world of Malifaux.
Maybe not the best one, but this is like Fuhatsu with his brain fixed, okay?
What's wrong with bad brain?
I just can't in good conscience make him a master. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know, electing Lenny as the Gremlin president. Hint. Wink. Okay, Adam, if you hate Flahatsa so much, what henchman do you want to see become a master?
Well, I'm pretty sure, isn't Asura Ratan a henchman?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she should become a master. Because then she just totally is better than Nick and him. In all ways.
Damn it.
Did he take
it? True.
Yes, he took mine.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious that she would be the best one to become a master. Because she's already master level what she does.
She is pretty darn cool. And I'd
pretty ridiculous. I mean, she's got some abilities right now, or not even abilities. It's abilities. Because any undead model can take her action for her off her card. It's pretty good. Considering
it's all right.
You kinda have like the Karin Emissary, and like I could just think of the conflux for her, which is like, oh, instead of placing one mindless zombie on the Shards of Kythera, place three. Because why not? She becomes the true Horde master, where the little piddly models of the mindless zombies become amazing. So
I'd be okay with that as long as they sold another box of mindless zombies and they dropped the price a little.
I mean, they're mindless zombies. You could probably just use corpse markers for most of them.
No! That ruins it!
Anyways, that's who I pick.
No, that's a good one. She's not, like, really underneath any of the masters, so the same thing with Flahatsa, I guess.
I mean, she's probably better than Nicodem in general.
She's more interesting than Nicodem.
Yes.
She runs Rottenburg.
Yeah. Bartertown. Oh, I can think of an alt sculpt for her now. Yay! Okay, next up would be Dave.
So, you know how a lot of Gremlin Masters are just kind of a master from different factions, kind of retooled for Gremlins?
Yes.
I'm thinking Sparks as kind of like half a levy. So he can hire all the constructs and tool them up, make them do ridiculous things.
Oh, jeez. No. Like, okay, let him take all the constructs, but, like, force them to take some sort of free upgrade that makes them worse. Because it is Gremlins.
Yeah, just give them all Reckless. And charge for 1 AP.
Dave, I don't think you understand what the word worse means.
Oh.
I guess there could be some benefit, like they blow up, like stuffed piglets or something.
Yeah, it could be something similar to the, what is it for Asami? The, whatchamacallit, glow or whatever that she does. Or, what is that called? Flicker,
okay. But once they hit fuse zero, they go boom?
Probably just things that he can summon. I don't know how he would summon, but if we went that route, that'd work.
Oh, I could see it. I'm not sure what benefits to his hiring pool he would take, though, because, again, Levy's already done the whole all constructs thing.
Yeah, they'd have to do some weird stuff, like extra mobility or something, to make a benefit for taking Sparks over Levy, besides just being in Gremlins and
Being the better faction?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, he would then be better than Levy, because then he could hire Gremlin models, so...
Yeah, that's great. I think Gremlins really need to take advantage of that and start coming out with some really cool constructs. Okay, Victoria! What henchman would work best if upgraded to Master?
Well, I was gonna say Asura, but
someone took it. Any second now.
Widow Weaver, I guess. I don't know, because always more Teddy.
Oh, God. So, we upgrade Widow Weaver to Master. Give her an even froofier dress, I'm assuming.
Obviously.
And her whole mechanic is centered around summoning teddies?
Yes.
Oh, God.
A wave of teddies.
Yes, and then maybe, like, mini teddies. We'll come up with a new model that's, like, smaller teddies.
Of course. Yeah. It's like some sort of plush. They don't necessarily all have to be teddy bears, but, you know.
They can just name them Cuddles.
There you go.
Oh, God. And then one of their attack actions is, quotes, Cuddles.
That's a really, really, really good attack.
Yeah, she put, she, what does Widow Weaver do? She puts down the web markers.
Yep. Terrifying all, can paralyze.
I kind of don't want to play this if she becomes a master. really, though, actually, she looks like, she's got the look. She'd make a good master, I think. Okay, yeah. Widow Weaver. Okay, Victoria picked Widow Weaver, Spider Lady, and a pretty dress. Anyone have any other suggestions, I guess? Things that might work? Things that you'd just be fun, like, fluff-wise?
I don't know. I'd kind of want to see Anna Lovelace.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
Crap. Clockman. Old Clockman. Why can't I remember his name?
Ionis?
Ionis, yeah. You can definitely see Ionis as his own master. He's not really anyone's henchman. I mean, he kind of has a little bit of a theme with Terra, but I think that's more mechanical than anything.
If they actually give him a backstory, the captain could be good.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that because I'm a bit of a fanboy and I'm trying to step away from Ironside-related things. But yeah, just giving him a background would be great. Dr. Grimwell would be pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Dr. Grimwell and Angel Eyes.
True.
Yeah.
Angel Eyes is so bad, though.
Yeah, she's pretty bad.
Well, no, she'd become a master and then, like, be actually good. Finally bring some decent ranged combat to the Neverborn.
What, Tuco's not enough?
No. Queeg. Master Queeg would be... You know, really, if Master Queeg was a master, I think it'd make more sense for him to be able to hire the four mercenaries than Nelly would. Because it just could be, like, they're prisoners.
Oh, I got one. Wrath. Make him an actually viable master.
Oh, yeah. Something that people would actually be enjoyed taking. You know who would make a terrible, terrible master? Archie!
What are you talking about? Archie would be best master.
He's not terribly bright. I think you need to be mildly intelligent or extremely powerful in, like, a magical sense to be a master. Philip and the nanny would be fun.
Well, yeah, because Philip is technically a tyrant, right?
No?
No? I thought he was tied in with the tyrants.
He was right. Tied in with,
No, right. his whole story was... That's getting sidetracked. Okay, let's do the last topic.
I'm going to look it up now that you said that, though, because I'm pretty sure that in Through the Breach, he is one of the tyrants. Or at least descendant of.
Okay, you do that. We'll get to your topic, though, so you're going to have to come back real fast. Adam's topic, and last topic for the night. If you could design a Malifaux deck, what are the key elements of a good deck? Adam, give us your answer and sort of fill us in on what you're wanting us to say.
I guess, like, when you play with a deck of Malifaux cards, like, both from using and when you're seen across from the table, what are things that make it easier for you to, you know, more or less see the cards? Like, design elements. So, for me... I don't know if people have realized, but, like, the white and the black... I want to say arcane decks, I think they're called.
Technically. Okay, yeah.
Like, those decks are really cool, and they're nice. They're nice. There's a lot of nice artwork, and the backs of them are kind of cool. But if you look at them, they have on the edge of where the numbers are for a lot of them in the suits is the border of the card. And it actually makes it somewhat difficult to read from across the table. So, I mean, I've either received or made Malifaux decks over the years. And, like, some of the things I've thought about are pertaining to this question, which are, hey, I want a deck that is visually easy to read for myself and for my opponent, clear as to what the suit is being displayed as. And then, obviously, on the other side of it is that there's no way to easily orientate the cards so you can... If somebody wanted to, I mean, I have never seen someone do this, but, you know, to orientate the cards in such a way that meant you could, you know, mark your cards or at least put the cards in your deck in a certain way. So, yeah. I guess for me, it's like it's design element things, and I'm in no way a graphic artist or a graphic design person, but I do know what I like to see across the table for me, and I do like what I like to see when I flip my cards. And on top of that, it's not just visually, like what level of thickness, what level of plasticness, and it, which is sort of a word that I feel like we can talk about with Weird, because we've all had different cards from them that are some are more plasticky, some are less. If anybody has the new tarot cards, those cards are large, and actually the design of them is kind of cool, because not only are they big cards, but the way that they're laid out is you have some really cool artwork in the center, and then you have the suit on one side, I think, and then the number on the other side, it's easy to read. So those are the type of things I'm thinking about. For me, it is number one, bright colors so that I can see the suits. And number two is no obstruction of the numbers.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Dave, what do you like in a good deck? Like, what feels good in your hands and you like to stare at? Deck. I think Dave's dead.
There we go. Sorry, I hit a button. I think high contrast for me, actually, where, like, the artwork could be more subdued, but the actual, you know, suit and number should be very bold and easy to see across the table. I do use the Arcane deck, and yeah, it can be a little difficult to read. But also, like, the Vintage deck or whatever, the brown one, also kind of has similar readability issues. But the Bad Ink one is actually probably the easiest one that I own that you can easily see across the table. I just don't like the cards themselves. They feel more fragile than the other ones. This will be a bit more durable.
Okay. Yeah. Victoria?
Yeah.
Any deck preferences?
Honestly, I prefer paper because plastic is really super slippery, and I've dropped many decks in the middle of shuffling when they've been plastic. Also, I pretty much second what everyone else has said. The numbers on the suits need to be really super obvious, even across the table. And on the backs, if at all possible, it would be nice if they were symmetrical. So that you can't, like, flip a card and, oh, hey, look, I've...
Like, with the, let's give an example for that. The classic Fate deck, which is the one I use most often, has an M on the back of the card. You know, M for Malifaux. And easy way of cheating that is that, say, you go through your deck and you turn all of your high cards upside down. So now that every time you flip, when you come across a W instead of an M, you realize, hey, that's a high card, and that's cheating, and that's bad. So what we want is the back of the card where it you cannot distinguish between what side is up and what side is down.
Yes.
Okay, we're down on time, so I'll give my opinions, and then we'll call it a night. And, oh, Adam also wanted to say a few things about upcoming events. I said I'd let him, so we'll do it at the end of the podcast because I forgot at the beginning of the podcast. Honestly, I think artwork should be kind of down on the list. Being able to easily read both suits and numbers and intensity, I guess. Like, some people don't have the 1 through 5, 6 through 10, 11, 12, 13 scaling memorized. So if there was some way you could make that very obvious, that'd be super great. I mean, a decent amount of the decks, I think, have, like, dots or bars or whatever indicating if it's weak, moderate, or severe. But even, like, something bigger than that would be kind of cool. I think what would be really cool is, like, a very loud, quote-unquote, jokers. I'm very, very slowly designing my own deck. And right now the idea for the red joker and the black joker is just a solid colored card. The black joker is just solid black, and the red joker is just solid red. Seems more exciting and intense that way. Coloring suits would be kind of cool. Not foregoing the black and red, and then maybe doing faction theme colors. So your rams are red, your crows are green, your tomes are blue, and your masks are purple, I think would also be really cool. I'm going to disagree with you, Dave. I hate playing against the Bad Ink Fate deck because I can't read it at all across the table. Maybe it's my problem, but I can't recognize the artwork enough. I'm not familiar enough with it. Maybe I need to own the deck, but the artwork really details what the suit is. They give the suit, but it's in small lettering, and the numbers aren't terribly easy to read either, so I'm not a fan of that deck. Sorry.
Interesting. I thought it was pretty easy, but I guess I haven't seen it from across the table.
Maybe I just need to get more used to it. Okay, we are well past time, and I think everyone here is just a little bit tired. Hey, Adam, want to plug your events real quick?
Sure. I mean, I have an event coming up in about 2 weeks, so pretty much sold out, but that's in Manchester, New Hampshire, Live Free or Die Cheating. If you want a ticket, there are two left. The other one that's kind of big is in February. It is Captain Con. It's the first weekend. It is right after the Las Vegas Open. So if you go to Las Vegas Open and then you want to come to Captain Con, you can kind of go do a little bit of the semi coast to coast. Those are two. excuse me. Those are the two big ones that I have coming up.
Okay. Cool. All right. I think everyone here is going to get some nice sleep. Thank you all listeners for putting up with us and our crazy tangents and all that other stuff. Thank you, Victoria.
Yep.
Thank you, Adam.
Yep.
And thank you, Dave.
No problem.
Thank all y'all for lending your voices and spending some time up talking about Malifaux tangentially a little bit. And as always, we'll see you next time, unless we scared you away, and we're very sorry.
So sorry.
Bye.